Allow me to begin this morning with some, shall we call it, self-disclosure. I do not understand exactly what faith is or how it works. But I do have a couple of ideas from this lesson that might be helpful. More on that in a moment. But first, let me share some humor with you. Have you ever heard a story that was just too good to be true, but because it was so outlandish, it had to be true? It just so happens that I have one of those funny stories for you today. It seems too good, but it is true. Have you ever noticed that when you ask someone who's been drinking, if they've been drinking, the universal answer every time and always is, "I've had a couple." Well, this woman from Fort Walton Beach understood exactly what it meant to be slightly inebriated. Far too well. Now, we don't know how many the lady had. That wasn't in the news article, but my guess, it was probably one more than a couple. And that's where the story got interesting for me. The report said that the woman knew our gospel text. She knew Jesus' words about mulberry trees being plucked up and thrown into the sea. She knew Matthew's version of this story about mountains being made into molehills. And she thought God wrote that literally for her because she had a tree. Well, actually, it was a wall, but it was a tree for her, metaphorically, and she needed God to move said tree. She ran a stop sign and found herself across the road in a ditch heading for a brick house. So instead of hitting the brakes like, you know, maybe most normal people would do, she decided to, as she told the police, "I closed my eyes and I said, oh, Jesus, please help me." And that's when she ran right into the side of a brick house. Prayer didn't work. Apparently, Jesus didn't take the wheel that night. Thankfully, there were no injuries, but the story illustrates a point to me. She had faith in God, but she still ran into a brick wall. And it begs a question. What should we do when we pray and we still hit brick walls in life? Believing in God's help is confusing when we pray and nothing seems to happen. It's hard to grasp what Jesus meant when he said, if you had the faith the size of a tiny mustard seed, you could cast trees into the middle of the ocean with a simple word. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I have a good guess of what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that faith is denial. Faith won't move a brick house when you are slightly inebriated, own a couple, and head toward it after running a stop sign. Now, I know people, very good people, who think that if they deny the facts of life, it can somehow make God intervene in their life and in their circumstances. But I heard a priest respond to that reasoning once with, if you trust Jesus to do something that you're supposed to be doing, whether it's seeking medical care or helping and loving your neighbor, you'll find the outcome is similar to that of neglect. Faith isn't just a simple-minded rejection of physics. It's much more complex, much more multi-layered than a denial of facts. Thankfully, the Anglican and the Episcopal tradition tells us that we, when dealing with matters of faith, should consider three things: what the scriptures say, what the church tradition of 2,000 years says, and the reasoning that God has blessed us with has a say as well. And that three-legged stool, as it were, keeps us grounded in the life of Jesus. And it allows us to stay focused on him and what he said. It keeps us from simply running off into left field and thinking what God can do personally for me. When Jesus said, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move a gigantic tree, he didn't mean that we should conjure up our best Star Wars idea and use the force to pull up a literal tree and throw it out into the Mediterranean Sea. It's much deeper than that. Faith is not a blind denial of our difficulties. But the text does help us see that faith is for forgiveness. I wish this lectionary reading would have started one verse before it did. The verse before this, Jesus told his disciples, if someone sins against you and wrongs you seven times in a day and asks you for forgiveness, you must forgive them. No wonder the disciples in this reading said, Lord, increase our faith. Because it takes faith to admit that we need help, God's help, to forgive the ones who wronged us. You see, it's easier to use their sins and their wrongdoings against them than to mercifully follow Jesus and extend forgiveness. Forgiveness is for the courageous. Vengeance is for the fearful. The world-renowned spiritual teacher, hermit, philanthropist, and philosopher, Master Yoda, said that fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. When we don't forgive, we're the ones who suffer. So why was Jesus so adamant about forgiveness? It is littered throughout the Gospels. Maybe he knew that gripping on to bitterness harms us and affects us and those closest to us. When we're angry and when we're bitter, we can't treat our kids, our parents, our grandchildren, our friends, our colleagues, or our significant other with the same love that we want to give them. That was a good place to say amen if we would have been Baptists. Thank you. Love knows no impossibilities. Jesus said, if you can find the faith to forgive, nothing is impossible to you. Now, I've experienced the impossible through forgiveness. One of the hardest things of my life was to forgive the people whose lies landed me in jail and publicly shamed after. But when I finally listened to the nudge of the Holy Spirit, I realized that it's time to let it go. And that's when God healed me of the fear, the anger, and the anxiety. And you, St. Matthews, were instrumental in that healing. You showed me that Christians can forgive and love those who get help after the wounds of combat. Forgiveness gives us the faith that Jesus talked about. Paul said, this one thing that I do, forgetting what is behind me, I press forward to the future that God has given me. Faith is for forgiveness. And forgiveness, well, that proves that love wins. But faith is also about trusting God's voice. Now, we understand the evil of slavery, but in the first century, it was very normal for wealthy landowners, business people, and politicians to own slaves. And Jesus used a metaphor of a slave so that he could connect his words to his disciples. He told them that a slave doesn't expect to be rewarded for doing the right thing. They do it because it's the right thing to do. In essence, he said, I told you that God wants you to forgive. And now I'm telling you that the kingdom of God expects forgiveness. Well, when I read that, it just punched me right in the gut. But it's true. Now, one of the most influential theologians of the 20th century was Paul Tillich. And he knew that faith was multifaceted. When someone asked him to define faith, he defined it as courage. Now, if I could add my idea to Paul Tillich's, I'd say that faith is defined by the courage to listen to God's voice in our hearts. That word courage comes from Middle English and it means heart, the seat, the very center of ourselves and our feelings. If it's the center, then allow me the liberty to paraphrase. If you have the courage to listen and act when your heart says forgive, you can speak to all kinds of brokenness and dysfunction and command it to be made whole and forgotten and thrown into the sea. If we can find the faith to forgive, we can find the hope to love. Forgiveness and love is what bring restorations to our fears, our anxieties, our dysfunctions, our anger at our families, our community. Forgiveness is what makes the difference. So faith, it's not a denial of facts. It's about forgiveness and it's about trusting God. God often speaks to me through words, poems. And the secret to my poems and even my sermons is that I preach them to myself. They are written for me. And if you get anything out of them, that is wonderful. That's just a bonus. But as I was considering this gospel lesson, I wrote a poem that I'd like to share with you. May forgiveness be your addiction. Watch the angels bake bread from ancient stories of courage. Taste the sweetness of hope. Savor the euphoria of freedom. Eat the life that puts to death the bitter soul. Stretch your wings of faith and ruffle your feathers of forgiveness, for they lift you far above the anger.